Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peek. And so just got back from a major trip. Want to talk about it a little bit, but also want to talk about some stuff I heard because I did have the opportunity to consume a few things that I thought was worth sharing. My wife and I just took a really great trip to Sandals Resort in St. Lucia, Latak. It was gorgeous. The view from our room was really great. I'm actually working on a video right now that's going to be posting up that has like an extended hour and 45 minute long just view of the waves crashing against the rocks below us. It was quite phenomenal. It was the highlight of our trip, was being able to watch the waves come in and us being so close to it from our room. We started off not knowing where we were going to be, per se. We had an idea of the area where our room was going to be, but we thought we were going to be facing the lagoon area where the main beach is. But instead, we were on the other side, which is called Sunset Bluff. And you'll see why, because we have some videos we're going to post of the sunset, and it's beautiful. It's definitely worth sharing. I tried to set up the camera to do a time lapse almost every evening. Some evenings we couldn't do it because of rain. Some evenings we couldn't do it because of the haze. There is a lot of haze in the sky there on certain days. We had one day where the whole sky was just gray all day. And even though they call for 86 and no rain, it's going to rain every day for a little while, but that's fine. It's just I didn't want to leave the camera outside to get wet because I was worried it was going to ruin the camera. It wasn't that type of camera. So anyway, we had a little adventure going to our little vacation. We were using Delta. We drove to Columbia, South Carolina and flew to Atlanta. And from there, changed over to another flight that took us to St. Lucia. And when we arrived at the airport in St. Lucia, they had one bag. We packed two bags, but they only had one bag. Right away, I went up to a lady and I said, we're missing a bag. And she goes, last name? And I told her, and she goes, yep, it didn't make the flight. I was like, oh, great. So my wife and I quickly did the math of looking at what we had and realized, oh no, that was the bag with all of our clothes in it. That's not good. So we went into super panic mode about, well, what do we do? Like, we're supposed to go check into our room and we're going to have dinner, and like, we've been in these clothes all day and they're kind of stinky because we've been sweating in an outdoor area for checking into this area. And so, you know, we were like, well, what the heck are we supposed to do? So the Delta lady was like, listen, don't worry. Just when you get to where you're going, go shopping, buy some clothes, just get what you need to make it until your bag shows up. It should be here tomorrow. And I was like, okay, well, right off the bat, I'm thinking, we need bathing suits. We need stuff to go to dinner. We need stuff to hang around the room. I don't have my flip-flops. I don't have a lot of things. One of the things I was most concerned about was not having any underwear to change into. So we were like, oh man, what do we do? And we reached out to some friends and family and they were like, just wash it in the sink with some soap and then hang them up to dry. And that's what we did the first day. We did go to the gift shop and buy some things. Of course, they don't sell anything at the gift shop that isn't marked up really high. Plus Tommy Bahama shirts. I mean, that was kind of it for choices. So yeah, we spent quite a bit of money there at the gift shop, and I'm hoping that this all works out where Delta gives us our money back, or at least some of the money back, for having to purchase clothes since they decided not to ship ours for some reason. So anyway, we got down there. We eventually got our clothes. We got some new clothes. We were able to go to dinner. We were able to get into our pool. We had a good time. We did the volcano mud bath. There is a volcano there. The Pitons are the mountains created from this volcano that happened. It is still considered an active volcano, although it is somewhat dormant right now. And There's a sulfur release, kind of like a geyser, sort of like at Yellowstone. And from there, they've made a tourist attraction out of people doing the volcano mud bath. And we'd seen people do this, and we'd heard about people doing this, and they said it's really good for your skin, and it's supposed to revitalize you in a lot of ways. And I was like, okay, sure, let's do it. So we did it. And I have video coming for that. I got a video that we made of our room review. It's just all kinds of fun stuff that we made. And I'm going to share that as we go, but it's going to take a little while to get all the videos out there. So just keep checking YouTube under Joshua Peak or under Stuff I Heard, and you'll see it there. So yeah, check it out. All right, let's talk about some stuff that I heard, because I did watched a few things on the plane. And I talked about it a little bit last week, watching Super Mario Brothers and what else? I watched Super Mario Brothers on the plane. Oh, and I started to watch another movie that I wanted to talk about today. It's a cartoon called Abominable. It came out in 2019. And I actually have a thing open on my computer that I'm going to read here. Because first of all, how do you spell abominable? Because it just sounds like a lot of blah, 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 right? So I started to type it A-B-O, and then it came up abominable. I was like, ah, hey, how about that? it came out in 2019. It says it as a computer animated adventure film by DreamWorks and Pearl Studios. So this is a DreamWorks type production. It's pretty good. The only name that I recognize in the list of people listed is Eddie Izzard, because I know he's a comedian, and Sarah Paulson. I've heard of her before, but I can't quite picture her. Anyway, here's the rundown of this cartoon movie thing. After discovering a Yeti on the roof of her apartment, yes, a Yeti, the movie's called Abominable. See, this would be the Abominable Snowman. After discovering a Yeti on the roof of her apartment building, teenager Yi and her two best friends embark on an epic quest to reunite the magical creature with his family. But to do so, they must stay one step ahead of the wealthy financier and determined zoologist who want to capture the beast for their own gain. Dun, dun, dun. Just looking here at the Google rundown, says it was on a budget of $75 million. They made $188 million. So yay, they made money. That's great. They also won a Critics' Choice Movie Award for Best Animated Feature and more. I don't know what the more is, but just there's more. Anyway, this was cute. This was really cute. So I didn't know what this was. I'd heard about it. I think my brother had actually told me he took his kids to see it, and he really liked it. And the Abominable Snowman in this looks like a big white puffy ball with a huge underbite. So most people are familiar with an overbite, like your teeth are sticking out, you know, over your gums. This one's got a big underbite, like his whole bottom part of his body morphs into his jaw, which is part of his mouth, and it just goes over to where his nose is. He's adorable, okay? Obviously, I'm sure they drew this many times trying to figure out how do you make an abominable snowman cute, but also somewhat menacing. And no matter how you do it, teeth going down just look ferocious, kind of like a saber-toothed tiger, or the way they have Yeti imaged at Disney with the uppers and lowers looking like it's rah, like it's snarling at you. This is supposed to be for kids, and it is for kids. It's very cute. Eddie Izzard plays the voice of this older guy who's supposed to be like a explorer who wants to prove to the world that the Yeti is real. And it's just adorable. There's a woman in it. I think Sarah Paulson plays her character. She is a zoologist who is supposed to, where is she? Oh, there she is. Oh, I know Sarah Paulson. Okay. Yeah, I've seen her and stuff. Anyway, her voice it sort of matches this character, but this character is like got red hair, very thin, big smile, big eyes. Reminds me a lot of Carly from The Incredibles, the babysitter. Hi, this is Carly. Just want to call about Jack. You know what I mean? That girl. This looks like that girl grown up. as a cartoon character, and she's like a kind of a villain. She is the villain. So, there's lots of magic in this. There's music. There's, when I say music, I'm not saying this is a musical. This is more instrumental. Yi plays the violin because her dad plays the violin in this. It's supposed to take place after her father has passed away, and she's trying to figure out what to do next with her life as a teenager, living with her mom and her grandma. It's a very loving family, although the fact that because the dad passed away, and they don't really say why, apparently he had talked to his daughter about, you know, when you get bigger, we're going to go, we're going to travel, and we're going to see this, we're going to see that. And Everest was one of the things that we're going to see. Along with that giant statue of the, I don't know who it is, and you know, the giant statue that's built into the mountain, the one that people take pictures and try to climb up on. And anyway, so she's working all these extra jobs, trying to make extra money, trying to save up. And then she stumbled upon this Yeti on her rooftop, and they tell you how the Yeti guys that gets there. And it's interesting. They become buddies. They bring along friends, and then they make a quest to take the Yeti home. I liked it. I liked everything about it. The music parts were a little weird, but I was like, eh, just go with it. And if you just go with it, it's great. It's great. Made me feel good. Gave me a big warm fuzzy in the heart. You know what I mean? I mean, not that I need to see a doctor or a cardiologist, or not that kind of warm fuzzy in the heart, but it just is a good feel good movie. So yeah. I liked it. All right. Then I watched another movie called About My Father. Now this came out in 2023, around the same time that Bert Kreischer's The Machine movie came out. When I saw the previews, I was like, really? It's Sebastian Maniscalco. He's a stand-up comedian and an actor. He's been in lots of things, branching out more and more into movies, mainly because he is Italian. He's got the very thick accent, and he's very professional. I can see why it'd be easy to give him opportunities to do more work. He's just that guy. Anyway, in this, his father is played by Robert De Niro. Big get, right? he's supposed to be marrying, it's a story about his father. He has like a photo album in the beginning that shows, you know, this is where we came from. This is who we are, you know, blah, 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 blah. This is the rundown that Google gives. Encouraged by his fiance, a man and his father spend the weekend with her wealthy and exceedingly eccentric family. The gathering soon develops into a cultural clash, allowing the father and son to discover the true meaning of family. This doesn't say anything about money. Oh yeah, it does. It says that box office brought in 17.6. I'm going to guess it cost more than that. I'm just guessing. Just guessing. Anyway, I liked it. So he's in love with a girl that is not Italian, not Sicilian, not traditional to what his family's been brought up to be with all the time. His father, played by Robert De Niro, is supposed to be this guy who's, you know, hardworking. He owns a hair salon. He does hair, fancy hairdos in Chicago. And he's raised his son to be this hardworking fella too. So his son works at this hotel where he's like the hotel manager. And he's dating this girl who's an artist. And she comes from old money, like rich, 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 rich money, like generational wealth type money, stupid money. And she's got an eccentric family. She's got two brothers, one that they nicknamed Lucky, and another one, what was the other brother's name? Doug. Doug is an oddball. But they're all genuinely nice people in their own special way. But it is the type of wealth that is uncomfortable to even see or be around. Anyway, so he's dating this girl. He wants to marry her. She wants him to marry her, but like he wants to be romantic about the way he proposes and finds out she wants something public. Then he gets invited to come to their family getaway, and it's in the Hamptons, I'm guessing, because it's like a very rich area that is super exclusive. And he's nervous about going. It's their summer home. her mom, is played by Kim Cattrall. Her name on the show is Tigger. She is a congresswoman, and the dad owns a chain of hotels that are in competition with the hotel that Sebastian is working for. So right away, you know, he's like, hey, I'm like the enemy. He's, you know, he's going to be gunning for me. Now, I know this is based loosely on his life, but also it's a fun story. It says, how much about my father is true? Although much of the plot of the comedy that Maniscalco both stars in and co-wrote is fictional, what is hit on the nail true is the relationship with his father, played in a movie by this guy. So anyway, again, the thing he likes the most about his wife is the fact that she's not like his family, and he doesn't find out till later, because he's a dummy, that the reason she likes him is because he's not like her family. They like the differences with each other. They like the things that they bring out in each other. And so, of course, they're in love, and it's great. I thought everybody did a great job in this movie. It was pretty far-fetched a couple of times, but listen, if you just go with it, it's fun. I enjoyed it. I was happy to watch it on a plane. I would have watched it at home. It would have been fine. It was good. I liked it. So anyway, about my father, check it out. Let's see. Right now it is available on YouTube. Oh, you got to rent it. So you got to rent it from everywhere. YouTube, Vudu, Apple TV, and Google Play. Or if you're on a plane, just watch it on a plane. So there you go. Okay. And then the piece de resistance, I guess you would say, is I watched Shazam, the second movie, Fury of the Gods. Now, this came out, and because I don't watch regular television, I didn't see a lot of previews for this. I saw a couple pop up on YouTube when I was watching things, but I was like, oh, it's the Shazam. Yeah, I know him. Zachary Levi. He was in the Chuck show that I used to watch. I used to love that show. If you haven't watched Chuck, it's pretty awesome. Anyway, Zachary Levi is great. I loved him. Everything he's in is great. He's got that awkward leading man, humorous, yet also super athletic kind of appeal to him. Yeah. So I brought up the cast on this movie, and he's third billed on the cast, which is interesting considering he's the main character. But anyway, let's read the what Google says about it. Bestowed with the powers of the gods, Billy Batson and his fellow foster kids are still learning how to juggle teenage life with their adult superhero alter egos. When a vengeful trio of ancient gods arrive on Earth in search of the magic stolen from them long ago, Shazam and his allies get thrust into a battle for their superpowers, their lives, and the fate of the world. Dun, dun, dun. Yep. So this came out this year in March. It was a DC comic, I guess. I didn't read Shazam. I wasn't familiar with Shazam until the movies came out, but it's pretty cute. The first one was cute. The second one's cute. I like it. I like all the characters. They're all so much fun and lovely. And I mean, right off the bat, you've got an introduction to two bad guys, and it's Helen Mirren and Lucy Liu. I was like, get out of town. Holy crap. Look, it's Helen Mirren. It is Lucy. Like, as soon as she started talking, I was like, it's Lucy Liu. Oh my God. So super excited. But there's a third bad guy, and you don't know who it is till like halfway through the movie. And it's pretty fantastic. The movie is very far-fetched. It's a superhero movie. It's a superhero movie that doesn't mind being far-fetched. They just go for it, like, all the time. Just whatever. We'll make up our own rules. We'll figure it out as we go. Who cares? Just have fun with it. Lots of great actors in this. Lots of great actors in this. Child actors and adult actors. Just tremendous cast. Even small bit players are just tremendous in this. The movie is is for kids. Okay, I'm just gonna say it. It's a superhero movie for kids. The idea is that Billy Batson is a teenager, and yet he gets the powers of Shazam, and then he's just giant man, superhero man. But he's still got the brain of a teenager. So he's like, what do I do? I don't even know what I'm doing here. You know, even problem solving things or trying to figure out how to talk to people. He's asking questions a lot because he's like, wait, what am I supposed to do now? Like, I mean, it's a cute idea. And they pull it off well. Everybody does. Everybody does their job well. So I liked it. I enjoyed it. Carol, I enjoyed everybody in it. I enjoyed our little parts. I enjoyed the little jokes. I even enjoyed the unicorns. Yes, there's unicorns. I enjoyed all of it. So, yeah. If you happen to be on a plane and you have the opportunity to watch Shazam 2, I highly recommend it. Yeah. I wonder how much money it made. Just out of curiosity. It doesn't say. Maybe it didn't do well. I don't know. See, here's the thing. Okay. Oh, here we go. Budget, $125 million. Box office, $133 million. They made money, sort of. They made money back. Made a little bit of money. Here's the hard part, okay? Is everybody wants to come out with the big movie and bring in all the dollars and have all the bragging rights of saying, you know, oh man, we made this much money from this movie and it's fantastic. And oh my God. And it takes a lot of money to make these things look fantastic because special effects aren't cheap, right? You also can't have a cast of people that you know without spending a little bit of money. You can't shoot on locations without spending a little money. Green screens cost money. All of the special lightning and crap that you want to see all cost money. So it's going to take a lot of money to make things look cool enough for you to want to go spend your dollars, right? Because if you're like me, you're like, I'll just sit at the house and wait till it comes on Netflix because Netflix is pretty cheap, or Disney Plus, or whatever the streaming service is that you can pay for at the house. You're already paying for it. You might as well just sit and wait, right? You just got to be patient. Now, here's the trick. How do you make the movie that people go, all right, I'm going to the theater to see that? That's the trick, right? That's the thing. And it seems like if you're not making a movie for kids, then parents aren't going to spend the money to have their kids go out and see anything at the theater. For teenagers, they have disposable incomes because they live with their parents and they don't care about going to the movies and spending $30 that they just earned. It's all the dollars they got in their pocket. But hey, you're only a teenager once, right? So go spend your money and watch the goofy horror flick that only cost $10 million to make because they used a lot of strobe lighting and editing. Great. Great. Good for you. Meanwhile, the rest of us working schlobs, we're just waiting for something worth going to spend the money for. So I'd heard actors talk about how they're pissed off that all these superhero movies are making money and nobody else is. Yeah, there's a reason. Because other movies weren't giving us our dollars worth. Now, something like John Wick, not a lot of special effects, but a ton of stunt work. A ton of stunt work. Totally worth spending money for. Avatar. Avatar is big sci-fi stuff. You want to spend money to go see that in the theater, right? I didn't, but hey, that's just because I'm frugal enough to go, they're filming it. It's going to be on Disney. I'll just wait. I got a great TV at the house. Plus, I can pause it. It's like 3.5 hours. I can pause it and go to the bathroom. I still haven't watched it. It's on Disney Plus right now, and I still haven't watched it. So there you go. Go figure. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, I do want to talk about this. So I've got koozies for everybody, okay? I just got an order in. I got 500 of them in a box next to me. 500. So if you haven't gotten your koozies and you want a koozie, let me know. For all my close friends and people who've been on the podcast, I'll give you as many as you want. You just got to come get them because I know you're going to share them with everybody. Anyway, so that's all I got for now. I just wanted to like touch base with everybody and let you know that I'm alive and I'm breathing and we made it back to America. And got home at like 2 a.m. last night, or close to 2 a.m. It was really rough. But our clothes made it home, so all of that fun stuff just happened. And now we're quickly buying groceries and doing laundry and paying bills and cooking dinner and blah, 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 blah. All the things you do in order to get your normal life rolling again for the next week, because it never stops, right? Got to go to work. Got to make the money. Can't go on vacation unless you make the money. So it's sort of like if you want the thing, you have to earn the thing to make the thing happen. So we're doing the thing. And if you're out there doing the thing, and I hope you're doing well, just keep at it and keep focused. And if you need a distraction, tune on here anytime. This is episode 422. So I'm not slowing down. I'm not stopping. I don't care. Just keep doing this thing. I bought koozies. Doggone it. Can't quit now. y'all take care. Thanks for listening. And as always, I end this by saying, cue the cow.
Cue the cow. Move, baby.